You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-377. Let's take a call. Let's go, people. I mean, lazy. So you just want us to do all the talking.
How'd Throw Shade Thursday go?
Throw Shade Thursday was pretty good, actually.
That's going to be a little weird, though, when you don't have Dell here chunking shade at people.
Yeah, I think we're going to be back in studio in June. So it'll all get back to normal. I think June is a couple of weeks. It was so we'll only have a couple more. Nick was fine though. Nick did well.
No. Nick is fine. I'm just saying, yeah. Dell is one of the early adapters.
Yeah. No.
And it's, I'm a target of shade as well, so it helps. I don't know if
you
Nick
did. You caught some from OU Mike yesterday.
Why? What for?
Because OU Mike says how you answer the phone like a little biznotch.
How did I answer the phone?
Because, I don't know, because you're ugly to OU Mike. You and Aaron are ugly to
OU
Mike.
What I said was, this is how I answered the phone. ESPN 97.5, and he goes, oh, so OU Mike. I was like, okay, and I put him on hold. Because nothing he says is going to be what we're talking about, so I don't need to hear what he has to say. I just put him on hold.
Well, that's ugly.
No, it's not. I'm not rude. I said, okay, let me put you on hold. That's what I say.
Well, I would really like it if you were very – see, that's why people don't call, because they know they're going to get rude deaths.
Okay. He called. Okay, how many people called yesterday when I wasn't here?
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was 1,000 people. Yes,
close to 1,000.
Yeah, sure. Nick must have been overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh, did you see what Art said? JG, if you need a haircut, you do what Whitey do: take a gun to a government building and protest. Problem solved. Oh, you must also wave a flag, wear camo, and it's something with an eagle on it. Oh, and be tremendously overweight. Will you stop trying to just put everyone on a little tiny overweight camo flag waving box? No one has to go take a gun to a building to go get a haircut. You do what other people do. You either get underground haircuts, or you do what I did yesterday, was take my clippers out and I went threes on the side, threes on the white walls, four on the sides, and then on the top I went a five. I cut my own hair yesterday again.
That's it.
Yup.
No, I go one on the sides near the temple.
Well, right now I can only mess around with three. I can't go two.
I like it tight.
Yeah, I usually go with anywhere from a one and a half. I usually go about one and a half, but that's when I'm not doing it. Somebody else is doing it. When I'm doing it myself, three.
Yeah, no.
You can't make
three.
The mistake. Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying. What if the guard
Buster
fell off?
Apparently, was it Buster Olney or one of those baseball guys? He did his own hair, and he was on it, and they were just killing him.
No way.
He looked like an idiot.
I did mine all right. Like, if you have clippers and you're smart, yeah. Like, I did mine okay. I figured mine out all right.
JG, if you need a haircut, do what Whitey do. That's not what Whitey
do. Take a gun up to a government building?
I protest.
Not just any gun. An assault rifle. And just calmly have a conversation. Because that goes well for other people who aren't white.
Oh, no. Let's get La Raza in here. ¿Qué pasó, mijo?
Juanito G. Land. Delvin C.
Delvincito.
It's not that.
We changed it.
Lance, that's not it.
We're changing it. There's no Rahil.
Who did the turkey call over here?
Lance did.
Oh, man. What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing this morning, man?
Good. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, good morning.
So, I had a theory, kind of like more like just a conspiracy theory. So, I put two and two together, and I was thinking about this when I was watching The Last Dance. You know how they're talking about the cocaine circus? Mm-hmm. And this was in the early 80s, right? So I was thinking, was John the ringleader of that? Is he in witness protection because Michael Jordan took him out of Chicago? Or is it just me? I mean, I'll hang up the list.
Look, man, I'm just saying this. I've been putting two and two together with this, John. You don't like talking about Chicago. You quickly sway from that. when you were in Louisiana at a TV station, your name was John Grant. You told, which is kind of witness protection-y, you told us, oh, that was that Cajun woman that made me change my name to John Grant because it was too ethnic sounding.
No, actually, she was from New York. She was Jewish.
Too ethnic sounding? Granado?
Yes, right. And
prejudice against Italians.
Girl from New York. Woman from
prejudice
New York.
Prejudice against Italians. In this day and age. Straight out of the Goodfellas playbook. Yeah.
No, that was exactly what happened.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
She did. She got a little out of order herself. It's not that I don't want. I just don't talk about it. That's all.
Were you the Bulls Connect?
Don't talk about it. That's all.
Were you the 80s Bulls Connect, John?
I had nothing to do. I had absolutely nothing. You think I'm a snitch? I had nothing to do with the Bulls whatsoever. Let's move on. Next question. What'd I tell you? Did I tell you to go bleep your mother? Bleep your mother.
Let me tell you what happened there. What did Michael...
I thought I told you to go...
What was Michael Jordan... Bing, bang, boom! what Michael Jordan, in the first part of Last Dance, what was he? Michael's just drinking orange juice and Sprite. What does Michael have now? Michael has rocket fuel next to him now. That's where John Granato comes in. Somewhere in the midst, gambling, drinking, golf. Gambling, drinking, golf. Now, who in the world does that sound like?
Well, actually, because I know you love that expression.
Well, actually, Twitter.
Well, actually, I was out of Chicago, right?
In 91?
Oh, yeah, I was long gone from Chicago.
Where were you?
I was in Arizona.
You were already in
Scottsdale? No, 91. 91, I was in Green Bay.
Oh, you were already out.
Oh, man, I've been, I was in 87, I was in Lafayette.
So were you kicked out after Jordan, you were still there for Jordan 63. When did they kick you out? Was it when Doug Collins was brought in? Did you and Collins have beef?
I left when Collins was in, when Collins came. Yeah.
Was it Krause or Rod Thorne that kicked you out? No, who kicked you out of the city? Was it Krause or Thorne?
No, neither of them. Neither of them. I didn't get kicked out of the city.
Was the guy with the gun who shot
himself? I left on
my
own volition. Actually, I left.
Really?
It was more like a Robert Irsay thing.
Really? Mel Murphy had nothing to do with it?
No. It was more like a Robert Irsay thing. I had to get out. I got the moving van, and I left in the middle of the night.
Sharks. It was the Sharks.
Yeah. No.
Or the Jets. I always get them mixed up.
No. No, it was a more Robert Irsay leaves.
John not liking to talk about Chicago is my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. It is so strange.
To talk about.
By the
to
way,
here.
There's a public service announcement to everyone. If you like Prince at all, you must see the YouTube dropped yesterday at 7 p.m. and it's only going to be on for 3 days. You need to go to the Prince channel and subscribe. And you can see his concert from 85. It was at the Carrier Dome, I believe. It was in Syracuse, so it had to be at the Carrier Dome. This concert is insane. It was the Purple Rain concert, and it was absolutely phenomenal. So many costume changes. Prince just dancing around, grinding around, doing Prince stuff. All the stuff that you know about, everything that you think you know about Prince is all encapsulated right there in that concert. And if you like Prince at all, you really need to see this. It's available right now on YouTube. You can go check it out right now, but it's only going to be on for 3 days if you want to get a little taste of the 80s. And we got a little taste with Michael Jordan, and we're getting another taste with Prince.
I remember seeing that back in the day, so I don't have to see that.
Well, you saw the movie.
We're busy. No, the concert. There was some. I don't know how I saw it or what, but I remember the concert. It's one of the most famous concerts ever.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But we're on the morning show right now, so I can't. And it's good. It's pretty good. Matt Lauer has to be rolling over in his grave watching this thing. If he was dead, he would be rolling over in his grave.
Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's watching the morning show. It's kind of like Steve Crow's probably kind of playing the Matt Lauer
role. You're talking about the morning show, the show.
Yeah, on Apple TV.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I hear that's really good. I'm almost – Succession will go down today. I will finish Succession today for sure, 100%. And I got to see – not Roman. Who's the other Roy? The one who Kendall. I got to see Kendall rap yesterday. So that was something else.
That is special. Kendall rapping. Kendall's in a lot of stuff now. If you go look up his, all of a sudden I'm seeing him in more and more movies.
Oh, I don't recognize. I feel like I know his face. It's kind of like Eric Layden. Eric and I are going to do our podcast later today, and Eric's one of those guys you say, man, I know I've seen that guy, but you can't place him. Kendall Rowe, that actor is, I know, I feel like I have seen him before, but I can't place him in anything.
No, but go look him, go IMDb him, and you'll see how much Kendall is in now.
Now
he's in a bunch of stuff.
Is this supposed to be a show about the American family, like the big, bold, rich American family, right? Succession?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hit you with something. The actual actor is from Scotland. Brian Burns, I think his name is. The dad, who is an incredible actor. Logan Roy. He's from Scotland in real life. Yeah. Shiv, Australian.
Okay.
Tom, her husband. English, which I know, Dell, you've probably seen him in movies.
Yeah.
In British movies. He's English. Like, what the hell? I swear to you, you know, when I found out Stringer Bell was Idris Elba was British, I was like, what? Why are British people and Australians playing all the American roles? It's like half of the role. You don't even know if a role, especially if they're an actor that you don't really know. There's at least a 50% chance that they're from either Australia or from England now.
No, absolutely. And that, isn't that appropriating?
They're taking our jobs, John.
They are. It's appropriating. Mm-hmm. Like apparently you can't play someone with a handicap because that's appropriating, or you can't play a Native American anymore because that's appropriating. Well, how about America's? How about playing America? How are you going to appropriate that, Australia? And you know what is amazing? Is that you can never tell their accent. But if an American tries to do a British accent, it's the worst.
That's a shy accent, mate.
Except.
I'm sorry? No, I can say that.
Except
yeah,
Brad.
I can say it like that, Del.
I don't think you can. I'm not sure you can.
He
used the British version of the F word.
Oh, yeah. No. You can say that.
You can?
See, John gave me
British. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no one heard it except for the stranger.
John has cussed in Spanish multiple times on the station.
Yeah,
well, you said it in English. You just use the English version of it. But you use English.
It's English English. It's not ours.
Yeah, it's a different country, basically. Yeah. It is a different country. It's different
language.
Just
like you could say shag and fly balls.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
They say shag over
there,
too. Don't
want to say bundle of sticks, though. That's not one.
Or their term for cigarettes.
Cigarettes also.
Yeah, cigarettes.
You don't want to.
You know what I'd like you to talk about? Chastang Ford.
What? That's my peeps over there. Love Chastang. I love those people over there. And what they're doing over there is amazing. And they're you know what? Everybody's got to do their part. And they are doing their part. Because this is a tough time for people in the, you know, when you're trying to buy a car, when you're trying to get out of the car that you got now because now the payments are too much. Hey. Listen, everybody's in a tight spot. Everybody's tightening the belt, and everybody's got to do something. And if one of the things that you've got to do is trade in that car, well, then trade in that car and go get the new one and see. It is unbelievable because I've heard other deals at other places. Well, how about 6 months? 6 months of no payments. So we're going to get through this thing. You're going to be back to work. Hopefully, you'll be able to save a little bit. Hopefully, you'll be back. Your finances will all be back. 6 months that you don't have to make your first payment. That's going on. Not only that, but 84 months interest-free. That's ridiculous. How about nothing down? All of these things just to help you get through this thing. That's what's going on right now at Chastang Ford. So, I love these people. I love the service. I love everything about the car buying experience there. First thing they'll ask you, where do you need to be on your payments? And that's the most, and they will get you there. You will love doing business with the Chastangs. They've been doing it since 1933. Just 5 minutes from downtown on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. Two exits from 59. You're looking for that great Ford deal there or virtually, ChastangFord.com.
ESPN 97.5. see that hype outside.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome. See, you don't have time for that, though. What did I said? Our promotion should be, we got the shortest breaks, not even enough time for us to pee.
Well, that's actually one of the bumpers. It says
it is.
Yeah, these guys don't even have time to pee. It's pretty.
That's
much.
What I told AJ. That should be our promotion for this. Is that our breaks are so short, you don't have time to go pee. That's how short they are. Okay.
Do you have a bucket in front of you or something?
Yeah, I just do it on the floor.
Well, I feel like the bucket might be better for the value of your home, but okay.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not mine.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass. Let's get Biscuit in here. What up, Biscuit?
Hey, man. Top of the morning to you, fellas.
Top of the morning.
It's been a busy week, man. I wasn't able to check in when that little list came out or whatever, the ranking of the NBA players or whatever.
We haven't even talked about that because, you know, here's the thing is everybody does a list, Biscuit, and everybody just wants reaction and I'm really tired of lists, but yeah, they put Michael Jordan first and LeBron second. Yeah. And then Will Chamberlain wasn't even in the top four.
Hey, before I get to that, though, John, real quick, I heard y'all talking about Prince, man. It just brought back memories, man. I'm just thankful for the brother because I don't know if you ever been to a Prince concert, man, but all that lace and fishnet, and I was just. My question, you guys, because I've seen him at least five times over my lifetime. But I've seen him with the Apollonia, and I've seen him with the Vanity. You guys are Apollonia or you Vanity?
I'm going to tell you. Go ahead.
Apollonia.
First of all, there's not a wrong answer. But secondly, no, I'm Vanity 6. I'm Team Vanity 6. Ooh, Vanity was on a – that's when I knew – I was young, but I knew this is different. When I saw Vanity 6 – and they got the polls, and that's right, pleased to meet you. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what's happening. Something strange is happening.
I was an Apollonia guy.
But there was no wrong, like, Apollonia, though. And then she jumps in the Minotaur. I mean, come on. Prince.
Yeah.
Prince had Sheila E. He had Sheena Easton. He had – we were going through it. So we were watching it at a friend's house, and – and had a great time talking to them. We were socially distanced. And we ate, and we were watching, and we were talking about how different. Like, my wife has seen Prince. She saw him once. Nikki had seen the girl who was there, or whose house we went to. She had seen him three times. I never got to see Prince, which kind of sucks because I was a big Prince fan growing up. But I said this too, Biscuit. Let me see what you think about this. To me, you could be, it's like in boxing, you were either, at one point, because they're in the same division, you were either a Hearns guy or a Sugar Ray guy. You were either one or the other. You were either Kronk Jim or you were the pretty boy Sugar Ray.
And well, you were Frazier or Ali.
Yeah, Frazier, Ali. And you always, and now everyone likes to throw, I was Hearns. Hearns is a middleweight. These were welterweights.
You were either a Palmer or a Nicholas guy.
These were, but it was either Sugar Ray or Hearns, okay? Well, you were either...
Right.
You weren't. That didn't necessarily mean that you were Prince or Michael Jackson. I brought this up on Twitter. You could like both, but Prince was the guy with the serious edge. Like Prince, I was hearing stories when I was in sixth grade of guys in my class. Their older brothers would say, "Oh, Prince's shows are X-rated. There's a bed on the stage, and he has sex on the stage." And I'm talking about this is when it was like. I guess 1999 was out, but you know I knew about Prince from Dirty Mind and Controversy. And
you start
seeing those album covers. What,
man? Hey, the Controversy tour, man, was cool. My goodness, and I think I was like a junior in high school in Indiana then, man. So, but the Purple Rain, I've seen it here in Houston at High Five when I was at U of H. So I'm like, John, I migrated from the Midwest down south. But that Dirty Mind, I mean, not the Controversy with Apollonia 6. Oh, man.
Oh, they opened for him?
That was awakening for me.
They opened for him?
Yeah, Vanity. Oh, it was Vanity, the Time and Prince. And man.
Vanity Six Nasty Girl is just on a different level.
Yeah. Anyway, into the list, man. My biggest outrage, John, I know you say they make it. There's no, and I almost had to curse when I fight people. There's no way in HELL you're going to put Steph Curry above Dr. J. How did, who compilated this list, man? Come on, man. It's no way in the world. Dr. J is carrying people to the finals, man. Steph played with four All-Stars.
Well, Doc only got the one title, and that was in 83 when he wasn't even the main cop.
Who are you playing with, John? Come on,
no,
man.
I know. How about the Dream ain't even in the top 10?
Man, like I say, this list is crazy, man.
Well, I don't know. Will Chamberlain not being in the top four is hard. That's difficult. I don't listen.
Well, it's like they said, hey, if you played in the 60s or 70s, you don't count.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they eliminated
all them way back there. I mean, come on, man.
It's been crazy to me to see people make comments like that about Jordan, that in the 80s and 90s, guys had second jobs and didn't work out and played no D. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I thought that's what we said about, like, 1950s baseball players. They're talking about Jordan-era players. They didn't even work out. They had second jobs and guys with bad backs. Like, what are you talking about? That's one of the cool things about watching this documentary is it has been a stark reminder for a lot of people, and it's been an in-your-face realization that, no, there was real players in the era, and Jordan was like, from an athleticism standpoint, he'd be at the top of the list. He'd be Morant today. He'd be whoever the explosive athlete is today. That's what Jordan was, only he was skilled, too. He was skilled with explosiveness. And this Last Dance documentary has been a very in-your-face check for a lot of people who didn't really realize what a killer he was, for one. But number two, how his athleticism and game would fit into today's game. I mean, it really would. If he had come up through AAU and all that stuff now, he'd be shooting threes. But we would have been robbed from all these incredible Jordan highlights. How many Steph Curry highlights involve him shooting three? Like, that's not a high. Jordan's iconic stuff happened in the paint.
Yeah.
That's where exactly. It was happening.
You know, Steph might have a layup. I don't know.
Layup?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
It's like Tim Duncan's.
But Mike stopped turning around and go and then going baseline against the Knicks and then dunking over Ewing. Are you kidding me?
Do you know, I told one time me and Charlie were arguing about Dream versus Tim Duncan. And I was like, if your highlight reel consists of a bunch of chest passes and bounce passes and bank shots, if you can't put together a legitimate, awe-inspiring highlight reel, like the Tim Duncan highlight, I'm not doubting his greatness. He was great. But what is Tim Duncan's highlight reel look like? Just a bevy of 12-foot bank shots?
Yep, that's it.
And where he blocks a shot to himself, like, how many views does that have? 750 with, you know, it's YouTube, so there's going to be 130 thumbs down and like 380 thumbs up. Is that what it's going to look like? I mean, Tim Duncan highlight reel is just, and then watch this as Tim Duncan takes a reverse pass and chest passes it to Vinny Del Negro. What an amazing brand of basketball the Spurs played. Highlight reel inducing. Watch this bounce pass on the backdoor cut. Just like Pete Carrillo would have drawn it up with his great Princeton team from 1987.
Watch the weave now.
Look at this weave.
Go in and out,
and
in
around,
and out.
And around she goes.
Pass, 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 pass.
And there's the mic and drill. On each side of the basket, the layup. Left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand. The mic and drill perfected by Tim Duncan. Like, man, Dream's doing blocking. Whose shot was that from Portland? Is Rod Strickland said he swatted into like the fifth row in the playoffs. He got Kevin Johnson like that too. You've got, like, we've got iconic Dream moments. Tim Duncan, name the one iconic. What's the iconic moment for him? Is it when he was laughing at Joey Crawford on the bench?
And then he got thrown out?
and got thrown out. That's like the – or when he pushed down – who did he push down? Was it Ori? Or no. Did Ori push him down? Who was it? Did Tim Duncan push somebody down or somebody pushed Tim Duncan down?
No, it wasn't Joey because the guy never worked a game again after that.
Yeah, he did. You're thinking of Clyde Drexler's. Clyde's didn't work a day again.
Oh,
Clyde. I'm pretty sure that was Joey Crawford.
What was Joey and Tim Duncan that had the beef?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I thought. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Tim Duncan sitting on the bench and he laughs at Joey and Joey's like, "You're out."
And Tim would be like, "What? What?"
Well, yeah. I'm just over here sitting on the bench.
8:31 ESPN 97.5. I'm getting texts this morning from John Claywolf. I'm like, "What the hell are you doing up, dude? You're never up when we call you." And he's not up now. And he was up at 6 this morning texting me about the car business is back. He's like, "It is unbelievable." He said, "I've got to get this thing going again, and I need you to really, really play it up." He said, "Man, the car market is changing, people, and you're going to get some money. And guess what? He's paying top dollar. John Claywolf is going to give you more money for your car than anybody else will, and he's guaranteeing it." I don't even know if CarMax is back in business, but you're going to get more than CarMax will pay. Because if John Claywolf can't beat their offer, beat it, he will send you $100. John Claywolf is ready. He's armed. He ain't scared of the coronavirus. What John Claywolf is saying is the car business is coming back, and he's ready for it. And he is going to give you the most for your vehicle. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I guess this could be a real thing. Buster Olney says, I wouldn't bet on Major League Baseball playing this year. Scott Board, if this money thing keeps them from playing,
they're going to lose some.
They're going to lose a lot of people.
It's going to be like a flashback to what year was that, John? The lockout.
94.
It was 94 the lockout or the strike? It's not a lock. It's no, but there was another one. There was another one after
94
that.
Is when we didn't have a World Series.
Right. I'm trying to think if there was another one where the fans really got upset with the players. Remember? Because that's when the steroids were, they claimed steroids brought baseball back.
That was 94, and then 98, steroids brought it back.
4 years later, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it really that? There was nothing in between there?
No.
Well, there was Cal Ripken.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
But there was no work stoppage in between those two.
Oh, I thought you meant that brought it back. Cal Ripken tried to bring it back, but he couldn't. But McGuire and Sosa brought it back.
I thought you meant the work stoppage with Cal.
Oh, no.
With Cal.
There might have been another work.
I don't think you're right. 94-95 was the last one, I believe.
Yeah. And that's what. How about that? That's why, if it wasn't for the baseball strike, Michael Jordan might never have got those other three titles.
You know, that's what I didn't really realize 100% is I forgot that the strike was going on when Jordan came back.
Yeah.
And what did you think about, so Jordan in one full season hit 200, and everyone in baseball, including Terry Francona, said, "Oh, no, he would have ended up getting to the show."
Oh, yeah. Reinsdorf said it, too. Now, Reinsdorf, listen.
A lot of strikeouts.
You'd be an idiot if you didn't bring Michael Jordan up to the major leagues anyway, even if he sucked, because it was like a rock star tour.
Yeah, you would have been printing money, but Jordan wouldn't have wanted to get embarrassed. But did you remember he had a 13-game hitting streak when he came up?
No, he started with a 13.
Yeah, did you remember that?
You wouldn't have wanted him to get embarrassed, but, dude, them starting him at AA was like a death knell for him.
But you saw.
You don't start at AA. Here's where most of your best talent is, at AA.
No, but tell people why. It was on a dock.
Well, because no other smaller parks could handle the media.
So he started Double A and was hitting fastballs, and then when they started throwing him curves, it was a disaster for him. But he still hit over 200, just over 200, 202.
50 RBIs.
After not playing for 15 years of baseball. And when you think about that, to hit 200 on Double A, which you have live arms in Double A,
That's where you have your talent.
That's where there's a lot of talent. Now, back then, you would have more come up from AAA. I think it's changed a little bit. But to where AA is, like, you get some real killers in AA.
Well, you still have guys coming up from AAA, but you got your young, your biggest prospects.
Now you do, for sure.
For sure.
Back then, maybe there was more in AAA, but it doesn't matter. Jordan hadn't played baseball for 15 freaking years.
Yeah.
That's just insane. I take all that with a grain of salt that he would have played in the big leagues. Would he have played in the big leagues through merit or through ticket sales? My guess is, based on ticket sales, had he gotten to a place where he could hit some curveballs and maybe hit, you know, where they thought he could have been a 230 hitter, they would have brought him up to the league. But he was still a ways away. That feels a little aggressive to just say a guy who struck out that much was, like, on a crash course for the bigs.
Dude, it was 14 years, but for a guy that didn't play from 17 years old to 31 years old to hit over 200 and knock in 50 runs, Francona goes, we had a bunch of guys that didn't knock in 50 runs. We had a bunch of guys on that team that didn't knock in 50 runs. Jordan knocked in 50.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Here's by the way, John, here's what happened in Major League Baseball. 81, strike. 85, strike. 90, lockout. 94, 95, strike. You had, in 15 years, you had four work stoppages. Yeah. That's why there was such a, like, that's it. We're done with this. Where the fans really, that's why the whole steroid in baseball, they needed to bring it back. It was because of that many work stoppages in one sport.
Marvin Miller. Mm-hmm. Marvin Miller was like, I think you looked at Marvin Miller. You know how you look at Scott Boras right now? And you go, oh, that guy, what a bleeper. Yeah, he's not good for the game. He's just greedy. He just wants that was Marvin Miller back in the day, because Marvin Miller, he was the spokesman for the Players Association. He was led the Players Association. But there were so many work stoppages. He couldn't get along. There was always a fight. But you know what? If it wasn't for Marvin Miller, these guys wouldn't have the best union. Mm-hmm. In all the sports. Marvin Miller made them fight for everything. He's in the Hall of Fame because of how he influenced, how he changed the Players Association and made it the strongest union in all the sports.
Look at this, though. I had no idea it was this bad. 1972, strike. They missed 86 games. 1973, lockout. But it was in February, so no missed games. 1976, lockout. Marvin Miller found a weakness in the reserve clause, and in December of 75, an independent arbitrator ruled in favor of Miller and against the owners. So that was a very short one. 1980, strike. The early days of free agency were, to say the least, contentious. Free agency was far from the only issue. It wasn't reached by May 23rd. The sides came to terms. I guess they avoided work stoppage, which I vaguely remember. 81 was the for real strike. So that took up half the season. 85 was another one of those in-season strikes for just August 6th and August 7th. But the fact was, 1990, there was a lockout. Like, the full 162-game schedule was played, but there was always the specter of a lock or a strikeout for basically two decades. There was a strike or a specter of lockouts, and then once the 90s hit, you had the big strike in 94, 95. And see, this is going to be a concern for baseball right now. Baseball's not in the healthiest place as it comes to younger kids right now. Many younger kids would rather watch their favorite stars of Roblox and Minecraft and Madden battle it out on YouTube, where they sit and watch or watch unboxing videos, as opposed to baseball. The last thing baseball, this is where you really need to have a
an understanding of the situation you're in. And Blake Snell and some of these players, it's going to be impossible because they don't have – they don't really have – I don't think they have a good vantage point. I think it's impossible for them to see it. But they are in a position where if basketball comes back and baseball doesn't, whoo. If basketball's doing everything they can to get back and the stars like LeBron are saying, I want to get back, and Jay Morant's like, I want to get back, and these guys all come back and do whatever it takes to get back and finish their seasons, for whatever the reasons are, monetary or whatever, it's going to really look bad for the guys in baseball if they say, well, we had a prorated skip, because fans at the end of the day are going to start to say, wait a minute, why don't you do a 50-50 revenue share? And if you're Major League Baseball, what you should do is say, by the way, if we do 50-50 rev share this year, we want it every year. We want to change everything.
Right. Well, Marvin Miller started at Donald Fehr. Well, by the way, Marvin Miller was elected by the Veterans Committee this year. He's supposed to be inducted.
Donald Fehr sucked. And the only guy Donald that sucks Fehr. Worse
Donald,
is Scott
But Boris. Marvin Miller was the original Donald Fehr. Donald Fehr was an a-hole. And I think, but Marvin Miller was the original one that you were just like, wow. And then Donald Fehr picked it up. Donald Fehr, what an a-hole. Yeah. I mean, that was the war. Every time you saw Donald Fehr, you were like, oh, please, shut up, Donald Fehr. 7378, and Marvin Miller is being inducted this year, if they have an induction into the Hall of Fame, that is. 713-780-3776, the number. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, come hang with us. Quick break. Can't even take a pee.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Who is it wants to talk about Tim Duncan? Corey wants to get in here. Everybody wants to talk about Tim Duncan. I mean, talk about it. Controversial.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What up, Corey?
Hey, this is what I have to say about Tim Duncan. Would you rather have him on your team or the man that he learned from, the admiral himself, David Robinson? That should shut that conversation down.
Wait. What's your answer?
I'm sorry?
What's your answer?
I couldn't hear you, brother.
What's your answer?
You're Tim Duncan.
No, what's Corey's answer?
No, what's Corey's
you want
answer?
Tim or the admiral?
Corey, what's your answer?
It's obvious it's Tim Duncan.
Why would you have Tim Duncan? Because David Robinson was a force.
See, John, you're wrong.
He was stronger. He was.
Oh, go ahead. He didn't win crap before Tim Duncan got there. He didn't win anything.
Well, you mean like Jordan before Pippen? So you want to crap on Jordan?
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
Well, that I don't
Pippen
like that argument.
Pippen played a key role in 6 championships. Robinson got 2, and the second one he was barely even a fan. He came off the bench.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to crap on David. I think David Robinson was
and
a
Dream
force.
Worked. David Robinson was MVP, and Dream worked his ass. Oh, come
yes,
on.
David,
it's not even close.
Hold on.
Tim Duncan is a much better player than David Robinson.
Hold on. I got Tim Duncan, too, but hold on. David Robinson was a really, really good player. He also lost 2 years of his career to military service, so he came in later in his
24
career.
24 years old.
But, yeah, when he came into the league, and I remember he had a great game, his first game against the Lakers when he came back.
First-year All-Star at 24.
Yeah, but David Robinson was a force.
David Robinson was the
year Dream got him in the playoffs.
And Dream
he was MVP. Well, that doesn't make him any less a great player, though. No. Dream was an all-time great.
Guess what, though? It's not even close. I mean, this is a silly argument. Tim Duncan is Tim Duncan 10 out of 10
times. Hold on a second. Tim Duncan also won some championships when he was not – you could have argued he wasn't the best player on the Spurs anymore. I mean, he played on a good team with the big three of Manu.
He always played a huge role.
And Kawhi
role.
Leonard was added.
He always played a role,
but I don't – Tim Duncan, I think, I don't know. Go back and look at Tim Duncan was a great player, and he wasn't a flashy player, so sometimes he gets minimized. And I'm aware of that, and I'm trying to avoid that. I just think diminishing David Robinson is a little bit of a mistake.
I'm not diminishing
you
David
sound
Robinson,
like you are.
But I think it's insulting to Tim Duncan.
You think comparing him to David Robinson is an insult? David Robinson was a dream teamer.
He's
a Hall of Famer and dream teamer.
At the time he was here in the league. Yeah, David Robinson.
He averaged 29 a game in an era in 93-94, he was 23 a game when the scores were like in the 80s. He averaged damn near 30 a game.
Corey's the only person I've ever heard that would take David Robinson over Tim Duncan.
I don't take David Robinson over Tim Duncan either, but part of it is because of the longevity. Like David Robinson, after the age of 30, David Robinson only hit more than 20 points one time. His prime didn't last as long. His rebound totals were good, but not incredible. 21 and 10.6 and 3 blocks a game. I mean, that is really, really that's really solid.
It's actually, if you look at their numbers combined, because I have both Basketball Reference up, it's actually similar how in terms of how they kind of decrease after 30. Now, Tim became less of a focus. Well, yeah. Kawhi came later. And like Kawhi didn't become a force to like 14 or so. But in between, like, time Tim Duncan turned 30 in 07. And if you start to look at his numbers, the 20 point per game season stopped. Ginobili and Parker became more of a focus on those teams. They became more – now, Duncan was a post guy, clearly. But their perimeter players became more of a focus. So if you start looking at their careers at 30 years old, they're very similar.
By the way, his David Robinson's stats are better. His points per game were higher. His rebounds were less by 0.5. And he averaged 3 blocks a game to Tim Duncan's 2.2. Tim
Played
Duncan
a
never
style
averaged
of game. There was much more they were much more team oriented.
But Tim never had three blocks a game in a single season, which kind of surprised me. David averaged 3 for his career. David averaged a lot more points. Even when Tim Duncan was on his team, David, although they did come in, Tim Duncan came in 97-98. But Duncan was a better rebounder to me. Like his rebound totals stay pretty damn legit until he gets to be 34 years old. Look, you can see it, Dell. His rebounds are double digit every single year. He was a better rebounder. A field goal percentage, who do you think was higher? David Robinson. David Robinson shot higher from
David
the field.
That's all he was but, around the basket.
Hold on. More points, more rebounds, higher field goal percentage, more blocks. No, less rebounds, more blocks.
It actually is surprising how if you just simply – now, right. You have the eye test, you can look at the games.
It's
but the numbers
rings.
Themselves
– the rings throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, because Rob, we all know because John pointed out, Dave Robinson never won anything until Tim Duncan got there. So you say, well, Tim Duncan obviously the better player. But it is interesting just to compare them and see – It's not that far off.
David Robinson was, at his best, he was better than Tim Duncan at his very best. The difference is Tim Duncan played at a high level and was an efficient player and was really, frankly, his style of play is what the Spurs are. Like, he became the embodiment of Spurs basketball. But David Robinson, I think, was a more explosive player at his height. His ceiling was higher than Tim Duncan's. He just didn't stay there as long.
I agree with all of those things. And give me Tim Duncan 10 out of 10 times. He was a key cog in 5 championships.
Who would you take at their very best? Tim Duncan's very best season, which I would argue, let's see, based on the
but
numbers.
But again, there was different styles. David Robinson was the focal point. And, you know, who would you take, Michael Jordan in the 90s or Michael Jordan of the 80s? You would take Michael Jordan of the 90s.
Well, he was a higher skill level.
And he was, and his will to win and everything.
Who played against better competition, do you think, in their prime? The early 2000s Tim Duncan against that spit show of the NBA when all the best players were gone? Or David Robinson, who was still playing played 89 all the way through. I mean, Tim Duncan came in 97-98. Robinson was rolling through prime Dream, prime Patrick Ewing, prime Mutombo, young explosive Shaq. Dude, it was a no-brainer in terms of the level of competition. That's why I think it's a little we might not want to beat down Robinson. We make fun of him because of what Dream did to him. But in real life, David Robinson was a dude. Oh, maybe Corey has a little point here.
No.
Because off the bat, I'm just like, oh, no. Tim Duncan. But I could tell Corey had a little different vibe. But when you look at everything, Dell, am I wrong? I think it's worth a discussion.
I think it's closer than you might expect offhand, and then you just drop rings, and you clearly dunk a thing. But to your point about competition, you mentioned Shaq and Ewing and
you can say Rick Smith,
Mutombo, Mourning was Brad Doherty even.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of competition, now Malone was there for Tim Duncan and Chris Webber kind of, but there's a lot of Hall of Fame centers David Robinson went against during his prime. So I'm taking Duncan because much like I had a discussion with Joel a couple days ago, I understood the game of basketball more during Tim Duncan's prime. I didn't get to see a lot of David Robinson when he was at his best, but I mean, numbers don't lie. They're
pretty
close. Tim
Duncan was, as an individual talent, David Robinson was better. As a team, like Tim Duncan, his longevity does matter. To me, you must factor in his longevity, and he did make winning plays. That's the one thing about Tim Duncan, the ability to block a shot and keep it in play for himself. That's Bill Russell type stuff. And he did come up with big plays at big times. There are things that won't be flashy. There are things. He's a classic case of the stat sheet doesn't tell the whole story with Tim Duncan. I'll gladly give you that because I would take Duncan over Robinson too. But I feel like history does not remember Robinson kindly or effectively.
I wonder where – I don't even know. I didn't even look at the list. I wonder where he finished on ESPN's deal.
Oh, man. I don't know. He should be in the top 74, I would think.
Oh, he's – Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, he should be in the top 25.
David Robinson will not be in the top 25. Wait, are you talking Duncan or Robinson?
Duncan. I mean Robinson.
No, he won't be in the top 20. Top 74 players? No. I just told you, history doesn't remember him that way.
They ranked him 24th.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. That's good. I'm glad that they – because they looked at numbers.
Well, he probably saw him. He won two titles, too. And he was a really good player for a seven-year stretch. He was a great player.
I don't feel comfortable saying he won two titles. Like, I just don't feel comfortable using the title argument when that whole era was either – I mean, there was a long run of Pistons, Bulls. If you didn't win back-to-back championships, you couldn't win a championship once you got outside of Lakers. I just don't think that's a fair argument to say.
Lakers, Celtics, Pistons, Bulls ran the league for 15,
I like
20,
the,
almost going on.
I like the MVP argument.
16 years.
Did you win an MVP? I think that's a fair argument. Did you win an MVP? And Robinson did win an MVP. Did Duncan ever win an MVP?
I would imagine he's had to.
I don't think so. His numbers are not outlandish enough to – I don't think Tim Duncan ever – you would think he would, but he played in the era of Kobe, Shaq.
Two-time MVP. 02 and 03 back-to-back. In years when the Lakers are running the league, and he won. And I remember those particularly because Shaq got pissed. Now, it didn't matter in 03 because the Spurs took him out. But Shaq wasn't thrilled when Duncan was winning MVPs when he was in the middle of a dynasty.
I do something about it.
Well, I think he did it 2002, but 2003 Duncan got him.
Wow, Tony Parker was number 13 on this list of greatest players.
Really?
No.
I didn't think so.
Maybe the
13th best all-time teammate wife guy. Maybe he's one of those guys.
One of my... That's not a list. Sleeping with teammates' wives is not a list.
Tony Parker's on it.
Yeah. Five-time NBA champ, three-time NBA Finals MVP, two-time MVP of the league, 15-time All-Star.
Yeah, it's pretty decorated. Decorated. And you know what really does matter? You mentioned the ones that really do that really does matter. Finals MVP.
Finals MVP.
Like that's a really big deal when you're the best of the best.
Right. He did get to play against Iverson's 76ers once, and
the Knicks, who were an 8 seed. In 99.
Oh, they played against some slop. That's been the argument against the Spurs being the great super dynasty.
I think the
dynasty.
Nets they got, too.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd's Nets, I think.
They beat Jason Kidd's Nets.
Yeah.
It was an okay team. I mean, they were all right.
It's not the Spurs' fault. They were going through the Lakers in the Western Conference, which...
Well, maybe that's what I was thinking. Didn't they beat a bad Pistons team, too?
I think 05. The Pistons won in 04 when they smacked around the Lakers, and then they got back in 05.
Who did Iverson play, the Lakers or the Spurs?
They played the Lakers in two.
Yeah, that's who they played.
Eric Snow. The Eric
Aaron
Snow.
McKee. You know, Tumbo was on
you
the roster.
You want to talk about.
Matt Geiger, I think.
God, that was a bad era of basketball. No. My God, that was
Steven
horrific.
Coutinho
Be
picked
quiet.
It up, Lance.
I don't like the Steven Coutinho era.
Steven Coutinho made the game great again.
So James Harden was. When we come back, I want to get into this list a little bit because we'll get to where James Harden is now on this list and where you think he'll end up. 8:57 here on the bench.
All right, time for me to talk about being a champion. Champion Energy. Look, you're looking for the best way to save some money right now. The easiest way. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I'm going to save you thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. That's right. I'm telling you. I've been there with them for 10 years now. I think it's 10 years that I've been with them, and I can't even tell you. It's incalculable how much, if that's a word, how much I've saved over this decade. But I don't pay more. I got the best. I got the best service, and I got the best company. Every time I flick my light switch, it goes on. It's amazing. No, it's really not. It's electricity. And it's not. Mine's not any better than yours. Yours isn't any better than mine. But mine is less. Why? Because I'm a champion. So go to champion.energy/1560. It's getting hot out there. You're going to be using the air conditioner. In your business, at your home, champion.energy/1560.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.